morning, everybody. Ah, quiet morning this morning. Yeah. I'm asked to remind everybody that there's coffee after church and the tradecraft stall. And I'm also asked to highlight the holiday club, which will take place every Tuesday morning from 10 until 12 noon. I'm adding, if there are any visitors in Cults Church this morning, then I am advising you that at the end of the service, you will find in the back of your hymn book the song As We Go Now, and that is sung after the benediction. I got a wee surprise last week, you see, when I was going out, I realised everybody was singing something that I didn't know about. And I thought, well, I'm half a visitor, and if there were visitors, you kind of need to know about that. So there we go. And I think that's everything that needs to be mentioned at this particular juncture. Let us take a moment now just to consider why we have come to worship, from where we have come to worship, and to seek to bring all our hopes, fears, concerns, and joys to the Lord. We worship God in the hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. People always say, well over the summer, you don't need to have anything specifically for children. But I believe we're all children and that illustrative addresses help us with the whole theme of a service. And so, you see, the person who balks at the fact that they've changed all the words in praise to the Lord the Almighty so that I can't just belt it out without looking at the words. The person who does that decides that we'll have an illustrative address whether or not there are smaller children in the congregation. When I was thinking about the theme of this service, I was thinking about how things have changed so much. When I was young, if you needed to find out about things, you used an encyclopedia. And this, friends, is my first encyclopedia, which I was presented with on the steamship Orcades when I was aged 7, going to Australia for my dad's work. And I was Miss Powderpuff and Lipstick. And I won the fashion show. And I got this, which is the Modern Encyclopedia for Children. And you know, when I was a kid, I used to love just flicking through it and reading bits and pieces. Here it opens at Thomas Cranmer, 1489 to 1556, became Archbishop of Canterbury in 1533 and worked with Henry VIII in his religious reforms. He was principally responsible for the compiling of the Book of Common Prayer. On the death of Henry, when Queen Mary restored the earlier religious beliefs and customs, Cranmer tried to compromise with his previous reforming principles, but in the end, after a temporary weakness, he met a martyr's death, as did Ridley and Latimer before him. I say, strange kid probably, but I used to take this out and just have a flick. I used to look at... One of the other things I always liked to have around was a book that helped me identify birds, because I'm just absolutely hopeless at so doing. I mean, there are oyster catchers and magpies visit my garden, and I can never decide which one is an oyster catcher and which is a magpie. Reference books. So if you wanted to find out anything, you looked at a book. And here, well, quite well worn, an old Chambers 20th century dictionary. You could look up the words. And one thing I used to find very, very helpful when I was preparing worship was my thesaurus. That's why I have still loads of books in my study. The thesaurus, which always gave me some other words so that you weren't constantly using the same one, gave me synonyms and antonyms. But of course, now, you actually don't need any of that, because people use this, or a computer, or their mobile phone. But we all still need something to satisfy our inquiry. If you want to know the answer to a question that you're absolutely stuck with, okay, now you might pick up your tablet. Another time, you would have looked up a reference book. We don't all know everything, and so we need additional help. But of course, we're at worship. And what we're moving towards is, how do you find the will of God for your life? We believe that he is around us, with us. But just to ask a question, we're not quite sure how the answer comes. Well, I'm going to suggest this morning that one of the things that we all need to do is read our scriptures. We need to have some regular reference from scripture as to how we might think, as to how we might act. And you know, Bibles nowadays are really very helpful because they've actually got an index at the back. And if you're looking for something on, well, what has this opened? It's peace. It's Peter. It's Pharisees. It's Passover. It's Paul. You can look up things that you might want to find reference to. So yes, reading of scripture is so important to mould our thinking in God's way. Talking about our faith and our situation with others is so important to mould our thinking in God's way. So remember, however old we get, the important thing to do when we want to know God's will is to ask, ask, ask. Knock, knock, knock. Seek, and you will find. Which is the little chorus we're going to sing now. And now let us pray. Amazing God, we come to you from all the busyness of life, seeking calm and insight, seeking to know you more clearly and to love you more dearly. We stand in awe of your wondrous love and concern for humankind. We stand in awe of your power. We stand in awe of your gifts. We stand in awe of the beauty of your creation. How can it be that we have this ready access to the maker of the universe, who cares for each and every one of us? Merciful God, it makes us uncomfortable to realize that in the light of your presence, all our failings are visible. Here we are, a forgiven people in need of forgiveness. We set out each day hoping to live our lives in obedience to you, seeking to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And so soon, we falter, preferring other company, other ways of being. We haven't felt like doing the right things. We have so wanted to be free of restrictions. We have forgotten that your way always has our best interests at heart. And sometimes when the way has not been clear, we have forgotten to share our dilemma with you, though you are always ready to point us in the right direction. Loving God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we lay our lives before you, seeking forgiveness and renewal by the power of your Holy Spirit. May that power now engulf us, sweeping away all that mars your image in our lives. And may we, in this time of worship, find healing and strength and renewed vigor to attune each hour and each day of our lives to your will. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Andrew Waters is going to read our scripture this morning.
I thought just before we got started, just as building on the children's address there, there's a few words in the Old Testament reading I wasn't quite sure of, so I Googled, but unfortunately I got three different answers on how to present Abiezer, Abiezer, or Abiezer. So just pick whichever one you prefer. Our first reading today comes from Judges, verses 33 to 40, and this can be found on page 241 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. That's Judges, verses 33 to 40. Then all the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the desert tribes assembled, crossed the Jordan River, and camped in Jezreel Valley. The Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon, and he blew a trumpet to call the men of the clan of Abiezer to follow him. He sent messengers throughout the territory of both parts of Manasseh to call them to follow him. He sent messengers to the tribes of Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they also came to join him. Then Gideon said to God, "You say that you have decided to use me to rescue Israel, while I am putting some wool on the ground where we thresh the wheat. If, in the morning, there is dew only on the wool but not on the ground, then I will know that you are going to use me to rescue Israel." And this is exactly what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the wool and wrung enough dew out of it to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be angry with me. Let me speak just once more. Please, let me make one more test with the wool. This time, let the wool be dry and the ground be wet." That night, God did that very thing. The next morning, the wool was dry, but the ground was wet with dew. And our second reading comes from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 23. And this can be found on page 24 of the Pew Bible. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 23. Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah," while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet. "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus. "For this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock. And on this rock foundation, I will build my church. And not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Jesus speaks about his suffering and death. From that time on, Jesus began to say plainly to his disciples, "I must go to Jerusalem and suffer much from the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. I will be put to death, but 3 days later, I will rise to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid it, Lord," he said. "That must never happen to you." Jesus turned around and said to Peter, "Get away from me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my way, because these thoughts of yours don't come from God, but from human nature." Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. The hymn is number 268. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed. another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Put yourself in Gideon's position. A few days ago, he was the underdog, going along with life in his village, dreaming of better times in the history of the people of Israel, when out of the blue, he is confronted by the facts of his case. As we spoke last week, Gideon realizes he has the power of one. He can be the person to turn things round for his neighbors. He may have had to begin at the beginning, tackling the root cause of their problems by tearing down the village idols. But that's been a success. And Gideon's on a roll. To the extent that he believes God is now calling him to do more. It might just be possible that he could lead the people of Israel against their oppressors. But Gideon is hesitant. What if he's fooling himself? What if he's just buoyed up by his success in destroying the symbols of worship of other gods? And so we find Gideon seeking confirmation that how he feels coincides with the will of God. In effect, Gideon asks for a sign when he puts out his fleece. First, to be covered in dew while the rest of the ground is dry, and then to remain dry while the rest of the ground is wet with dew. And according to the folklore of the people of Israel, God cooperates in Gideon's quest. So much so that Gideon is then confident to take the next step in the mission to which he is now convinced he has indeed been called. Peter would have done well to take a leaf out of Gideon's book. For in the passage we read from Matthew's Gospel, we find him both spectacularly perceptive and spectacularly mistaken, while depending on human conviction alone. When Jesus had asked the disciples who they thought he was, Peter was the one who showed the deep insight into the ministry of his master. "You are the Christ," he said. "Well done," said Jesus. "You're tuned into the mind of God to be able to say that." Can't you feel the nice warm glow which flooded through Peter as he heard these words? He'd made it. He was attuned to God. Rough Galilean fisherman that he may be, he had won through to a level of spiritual perception he'd always admired and longed for. So, thus bolstered by his insight at Caesarea Philippi, when Peter hears Jesus talk of impending suffering and death. For the one he, Peter, had so recently identified as the Messiah, he draws him aside. Said, no. You've got to have that wrong. We can't have that happening to you. And from the same lips that had congratulated Peter only days before on his spiritual awareness come the words, "Get away from me, Satan. These thoughts of yours don't come from God, but from man." Friends, what's a body to do? How can we ever be sure that we have truly grasped the will of God in any given situation? That, for me, is the challenge to Christians of every generation. And the first thing to say is that, like Peter, however firmly we believe we have grasped the central principles of the gospel, however strongly we feel about a particular situation, we need constantly to be checking out our stance against the best traditions of Christian theology. Yes, I'm saying it means that often faith in itself is not sufficient to guarantee that our instincts are sending us a message from God. We need constantly to expose ourselves to the reading and the exposition of Scripture, to discuss our relative positions in the light of Scripture, and to seek at every turn to allow those thought processes and discussions to challenge the positions which we have habitually assumed were agreeable to the Word of God. Second thing I would suggest is that we need to be ready to look for the hand of God in the circumstances which surround our lives. It may be inconceivable at the time to recognize an event, either sad or joyful, as providing us with a sign of where God is leading us. But those who have accepted every eventuality of life as such often discover that their lives take on both new direction and meaning. And thirdly, yes, I am going to advocate discovering the will of God by more practical means. Have you ever made a deal with God? When I was in second year arts at Glasgow University and hadn't really a clue what I wanted to do with my life, I was, however, also convinced that I would only ever be happy in life doing what God wanted me to do. Bit highfalutin of me, I admit, but there you go. And so I made a deal with God. In my second year in arts, that if I was going to go on and do honours in modern languages, then I would pass all my subjects at the first sitting. Embarrassingly, I failed my German. I was really upset, but I had made a deal with God. And the deal was If I didn't pass all these subjects, then I wasn't going on to do an honours in modern languages. I had, however, already been in the process of going for my year or 9 months in France, and so off I went to do that. When I came back, because I wasn't doing honours anymore, I only had one subject to do to finish an ordinary Master of Arts degree. Well, being me, I couldn't just go to university for a whole year and do one subject. So I thought, might be interesting to do something in divinity. Because, yeah, I was a bit of a nerd. I was a bit of a kid who thought that the Christian faith was something I really wanted to get into. And so I went to see whether I could do a subject in divinity alongside my final subject to get an ordinary Master of Arts degree. Now, you may have heard me tell you this before, but when I went to see about it, the Dean of the Faculty of Divinity was Willie Bartley. And many of you, because we're that bit older, will remember. And when I went to see Willie Bartley, he said, oh yes, well, but you better just do elementary Greek at the same time. Just in case you ever want to do a BD. Me? Want to do a BD? But you see, at 21, and in a room with Willie Bartley, whom I had admired for so long, if Willie Bartley said I was to do elementary Greek at the same time, then that's what I was doing. So in my final year in arts, I did one subject in arts, and in fact, two subjects in divinity, which are to be found on my arts parchment and not on my divinity parchment. So there was how. Deal with God. Don't know what I want to do with my life, but you tell me, eventually leading to divinity. I won't tell you all the deals I've made with God, but there's one other interesting one. And that is when I was finishing my probationary year after I graduated with a Bachelor of Divinity and applying for charges. I think it would be fair to say that over the piece, I applied for about 39 charges from April, May of 72, when I was coming to the end of my probationary year. And constantly people came to see what it looked like, a woman, minister. And then people wouldn't have me as their minister because they didn't want a woman at the graveside. They wouldn't have me as the minister because, well, their manse was a way up a very, very long driveway and it would be a bit lonely and dangerous. Well, there were various reasons. Plus, sometimes they didn't like the look of it. So by August, September 1972, I'm getting to the point of saying, I thought I wanted to be a parish minister, but nothing's happening. And so I made the deal with God that if I didn't get a charge before the end of 1972, I would interpret that as indicating that I wasn't to go into parish ministry. I preached as sole nominee for Peter Cooter Kelman Memorial in November 1972. Not as spectacular as Gideon's fleeces, but just as effective. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. May all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to his Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we sing the hymn number 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Worship God now with our offering. And now let us pray. Gifts given from gifts received. We pray that they may not only reflect your bounty, but be used to nurture a clearer understanding of your love in this land and throughout your world. Lord, we give you thanks for all your gracious gifts to us, for family and friends, for healing for our hurts, for guidance when the way is not clear, for food and shelter, for times of enjoyment, and for your presence when life throws a curveball. We thank you for all those who have travelled this way before us and shown us how their relationship with you has enriched their living, and who have set us examples of how we might discover your will for us. We thank you for those in our own community who care for us, for police and fire service personnel, for doctors and nurses, for those who take responsibility for local and national affairs. And we pray at this time for Shuna, minister of this congregation, that she may find refreshment in her time away. And now, Lord, we pray for those who are struggling to find reason to give you thanks, for those who are in debt, for those who are trying to cope with the effects of serious illness, for their carers, for those in whom the vigour of life has waned so that they find themselves cut off from society, for those whose faith is ebbing, who no longer see reason to trust. We pray for those who are oblivious to your presence and for those who fight your clear calling. Hear us, Lord, as now we bring our silent prayers, embracing those concerns which are more personal to us. Almighty God, grant that we who know your blessings may be always alert and willing to share those blessings with those who are in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 530, One More Step Along the World I Go.
One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. From here on.
And now as you go on your way, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and show you his way. Amen.